Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, AM 1400. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. You'll want to keep that number handy because we have an ice cream giveaway in this hour from McConnell's Fine Ice Cream and Yogurt on Main Street, and we'll be giving that away to some lucky caller at 639-0008. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is deeper understanding. Each of my guests will challenge us to have a deeper understanding of their particular subject. My first guest is a real thought leader. Her ideas are so extraordinary, she makes me uncomfortable thinking about them. Her hope is to break up existing business models that have existed for decades and replace them with a whole new idea of shared resources. My second guest is a legend in musical circles who wants us to have a deeper understanding of why the arts are so vital to our children's development and why we should return to arts programs in our public schools. My third guest is an authority on people. She's going to provide us deeper understanding of how to read and interpret body language. As always, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 639-0008. Lisa Gansky, my first guest, is at heart a marketect. Interesting word. And she's also an impact junkie with a strong interest in breaking the edges of formerly happy business models and bringing together not-so-likely characters in the form of new offerings, new teams, and new partnerships. She's the author of the new book, The Mesh, Why the Future of Business is Sharing. Since 1991, she's been an entrepreneur and environmentalist focused on building companies that support social ventures where there's an opportunity for a well-timed disruption and a resounding impact. Get this, she's founded or been CEO of two major companies. The first one was GNN, which was the first web portal that was sold to America Online. And the second company was Ophoto, the largest consumer photo sharing company that was eventually sold to Eastman Kodak in 2001. She currently serves as the director and co-founder of Dos Margaritas, an environmental foundation with programs focused in Latin America. She's an advisor and an investor in several social ventures, including New Resources Bank, Convico, Squidoo, Tastebook, and many, many more. Welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Billy.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. You are definitely a thought leader. So let's just jump right into it. Let's start with your basic premise, and it's an interesting premise. When stuff became cheap because we could get it manufactured overseas so inexpensively and credit became cheap, we as consumers filled our lives with stuff, but not necessarily the things that we really care about. Now, I got to tell you right up front that I'm a consumer vore. I'm not sure I completely agree with you on the premise, but your premise does support the times and the change in our consumption behavior. So what's the basic idea behind your book, The Mesh, and how is it intrinsically better than our old ways of consumerism?
Well, let's see. The basic idea behind The Mesh are a few. One is that so The Mesh is shifting our relationship to our stuff in terms of our personal lives, in our communities, and in our businesses, and it's in part powered by these little mobile web devices that we all seem to be dripping with in various moments of our lives. And that has basically enabled, so if we think about the last 10 or 15 years with the internet and our relationship to music and video and other kinds of content like, you know, radio, for example, podcasts, as well as magazines and news and newspapers,
mm-hmm.
the ways in which we experience them, whether we're in the business of making the experience, or whether we are the so-called consumers, readers, audience, is entirely different than it was, you know, 15 years ago. And a lot of what I was realizing was that, and having participated with especially Ophoto and the photography aspect of it, was that when we had physical products, the physical products could be tasted or sampled online and then distributed online and appreciated all digitally. But when it came to physical goods, you know, physical goods are still, they're physical. They can't be distributed that way, and they also can't be appreciated or sampled in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that I think also made us feel that in order to have the convenience and the experience, we owned a lot of stuff. What I started to realize in traveling and looking around is that there were models, and especially, you know, thinking about other vectors like the recession, like climate change, like density moving, you know, there's 9 billion, we're at about 6.5 billion people, so 9 billion people, most of that is predicted, most of the new population is predicted to be in sort of what's being called megacities. So I was, you know, thinking about all these things and mostly thinking about it from a business perspective, and stepped out of a taxi in New York City a while back and looked around and said, wow, you know, coming from Northern California, everything, everywhere I look, there's kind of a share platform is what I was calling them. You know, it's subways and taxis and hotels and office buildings and restaurants and cafes and public parks. And that essentially there are all these things that were designed to be shared that are in the physical world. And then I started to realize, you know, we're seeing these phenomenon like pop-up stores and gourmet food trucks, you know, in L.A., the kimchi quesadilla, or up here, the creme brulee truck, that, you know, has its daily flavors and tweets its location. And that there's something happening that is changing, that the web is getting physical in some of the way that we live our lives and think about things. And what implications could that have? And so I think that there's kind of three things that are coming together. One is that, you know, the mobile web device that's GPS-enabled allows us to find each other and things in the physical world. Two is social networks allow us to kind of be reach out more easily to each other and influence one another. And the third thing is that physical goods are also more easily tracked, that, you know, they have devices in them that makes it easy to locate cars and houses and, you know, sophisticated mapping systems that are on the web that are free that everyone has access to. And so I started to think about, is it possible that we could be coming into a place where it's about using more and experiencing more, but actually having less in terms of having meaning owning, and what would that mean to a business? And so, you know, by way of example, I'd say Blockbuster was a business that was built on sharing.
Sure.
Netflix is a mesh business that understood the relationship of data and social networks and the importance of where the markets were going and the influence of people's decisions on other people. And there's a thriving company relative to, you know, Blockbuster now sort of circling the drain, as we say.
Chapter 11 and going down for the third time.
There we go.
Yeah. We're talking to Lisa Gansky, everybody. Her latest book is The Mesh, Why the Future of Business is Sharing. And I get what you're saying. It's a little academic for maybe some of our listeners. So let's bring it down some nuts and bolts and give some examples. You mentioned Netflix, which is a great company, and how Netflix disrupted the business model for Blockbuster. There are also other examples that we live with day to day, such as timeshare condos when you go on vacation. A lot of my listeners go to timeshare condos. That's a shared resource. One person owns it, but many people use it. And executive suites. We have executive suites throughout Ventura County, where you share office space, you share receptionists, you share facilities. So it's not uncommon for us to think about it. But what are some of the other more interesting applications that you've seen in your travels, Lisa?
Well, to your point, Billy, there are many. Like, so Federal Express and UPS and Kinko's, and, you know, all of those are mesh businesses. They're platforms that are essentially the fundamental offer is sharing. Hotels, you know, there's some hotels that are you probably feel it as a customer when they're meshy because they understand you as a customer, so they know that you really love having fresh fruit when you walk in the room, or you really prefer to have, you know, a king-size bed versus a queen in a tub or whatever. And so, you know, they use the information that you give them to enhance your experience and to build the relationship with the brand, and that's kind of the mesh advantage there.
Well, clearly, Lisa, you travel in better hotels and different hotels than I do when I'm on the road. I'm mostly in Motel 6.
Well, the other thing is, I would say, to your point, there's a lot of examples. If people are doing things, and some of it initially felt very retro to me. So, for example, tools libraries. There have been many tools libraries that have come online, meaning been created, not necessarily with websites, but have been created in the real world. So there's one up here in Santa Rosa that a guy basically said, hey, I have lots of tools sitting around that I'm not using, and there's lots of people who, you know, want to use them. They're not full-time carpenters, but they're just doing little projects. The long and short is, in a very, you know, two, three-year period, he went from a few tools to about 800 tools, and anyone in the area can reserve for free. He set his up as a nonprofit, but there are some people that are doing these sorts of things as for-profits. Shared kitchens, a lot of artisan, you know, people love making fruit jams or relishes or preserved lemons or whatever, and selling these things at farmers markets, but often you need to have a commercial kitchen to prepare them, and there's a lot of steps, so doing them with a few other people is usually more fun and less stressful. And so there's a number of people who have been doing sort of the same model that you mentioned about executive suites. They have those co-working office spaces, but also they've been doing them for commercial kitchens. So people will go in and use kind of a gym membership model for a commercial kitchen or for a music production studio. And so there's the music gym where a bunch of musicians go together and kind of pay a fee and hang out with each other and create really interesting mischief and music. And so people, there's something called hacker spaces, that people that like to make physical things and make, you know, messy projects with big tools, go and get a workshop together and bring their tools together and create what has been called hacker spaces. These things, I think, are really interesting, and, you know, people find out about them. The web and the social networks help to spread the word, but they're often, you know, just really community-based, practical things.
All right. Now, we're talking to Lisa Ganske, everybody, author of the book, The Mesh. Lisa, this sounds more like devolution than evolution in business. It almost sounds like we're moving back to a barter society. So tell me how this is a step forward for business and business models.
Well, I think it's, in some cases, for community-based things, people may choose to do something that's not focused, you know, on the profit per se, but be more keen on, you know, creating a micro lending platform that is supporting art in the community, for example. But online, there's a company called Kickstarter,
right,
that has created a whole platform that allows, you know, anybody with an interesting project to pitch their project and to get kind of, you know, micro patrons to fund the project and give it its kickstart. And so I think that, there's a combination of the 1-2 punch, being that these platforms like Twitter and Facebook and Kickstarter are out there for any of us to use if you're making a very large business, or, for example, you know, two businesses that I'm aware of that got their start in New York from Kickstarter. One was Brooklyn Grange Farms. That's an acre organic rooftop farm in Brooklyn. The other one is Newark City. That's a co-working space in New York that got its start from Kickstarter. So, you know, I think that there's a kind of global, local, or techie, you know, very local kind of practical coupling of these platforms with what somebody might want to do in their local community.
All right.
If you have a business that's a business model that's a bigger business, and again, I'll say, you know, mesh businesses for large businesses that are looking for national or international markets allows for this interplay. So Zipcar is another really good example of a mesh company that it's a car sharing service, but you know they really understand their customer. They're understanding how to partner in different markets with whether it's gourmet food trucks or Whole Foods or healthcare companies, universities, to reach new markets and to have to in a practical way create kind of a willingness of people to want to try the service because it's presented through another related brand or through a trusted friend who's already had an experience with it.
Sure. We're talking to Lisa Gansky, everybody, author of the book, The Mesh. Lisa, we've only got about 30 seconds left, but in that 30 seconds, tell us the story about Scott Martin when you were in New York City and how that sort of triggered your thinking about mesh companies.
Sure. Scott is a really clever guy. Last Christmas, basically, he's a landscaper, and I believe he's based in L.A. He essentially just got very upset that he felt this is the year that he was disgusted with the whole idea that people get these trees and then throw them out and they line the carcasses, lay around, and, you know, they're fire hazards and all these sorts of things. So he came up with this idea that he would create a website and allow people to pick a live tree, and he would deliver these trees, being a landscaper. He would deliver them to, they would look beautiful, they'd be alive, people would have them for the holidays, and then as part of the service, he would come back and reclaim them and plant them in places or sell them. And he hired a group of people who were friends, and they created just a really fabulous experience. They also wanted to, you know, kind of help people recycle a lot of the trash and related things that come from the celebratory Christmas spirit of, you know, gift wrap and all these sorts of things. So he created a very full service, very irresistible experience based around sharing when people previously had felt that they needed to own the Christmas trees.
And that's why it's a mesh company. I think it's great. We've been talking to Lisa Gansky, everybody, author of the book, The Mesh, Why the Future of Business is Sharing. If you want to really read the work of a thought leader, you pick this book up because this will change the way you look at business models. The book is available wherever books are sold, and of course it's available here at Bank of Books in Ventura. Lisa, thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much, Billy.